This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
From Vegas, Bet the Board podcast, Fox Sports, where Clay Travis was wearing the crown again this week, which means Vegas probably lost some money because Clay's a layman and had the crown on this week. Todd, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are things this fine morning?
Fantastic. Before we get into what you do for a living out there with the numbers, we just want to ask you your opinion. Other than Clemson, give me the team you think would challenge Alabama the most to beat them in a national championship game in Santa Clara. Take Clemson off the board.
I think that's really the only team that can truly push them. When I look at the upcoming schedule, Georgia, if they get going offensively, maybe they're able to try and put Alabama on its heels in the SEC championship. And I think the most fascinating game for me would be seeing Michigan get out of the Big Ten at 12-1 as a conference champion. Coach Harbaugh having all that time to prepare for Nick Saban. Seeing if Shea Patterson offensively was able to guide a challenge against that Alabama defense, because I think Michigan could pose some problems for Tua and Alabama offensively.
Todd Furman is with FS1. He's on the Bud Light Hotline, bettheboardpodcast.com. That Clemson line, and look, I mean, both teams have to win 3, 4, 5 games before this game is even played, but that Alabama-Clemson line, I've noticed, continues to creep down. Why is that?
It ticked down a touch. I mean, you're still talking about a little flexibility from odds makers who said that number was going to be anywhere from 7.5 to 9.5. I don't see it coming down to a full touchdown unless Alabama really struggles. They're not going to do it this week and against Citadel, but we'll see how they perform against Auburn and Georgia in subsequent weeks. Clemson, on the other hand, they've been able to feast on a lot of the lightweights on their ACC schedule. A workmanlike performance last week in Chestnut Hill against Boston College. But Clemson continues to round into form. We know how good they are defensively. I still have some questions about their secondary. But offensively, as Trevor Lawrence feels more and more comfortable in the offense, they show some balance. I think that's the game everyone wants to see as a college football fan, just to know if Alabama offense will finally get slowed down by an NFL-caliber defensive line.
Todd, back to the Big Ten. Michigan-Ohio State winner next week will get Northwestern to the Big Ten championship game. I heard you on Lock It In yesterday. Talk about one of the smelliest fish on the board this weekend. Northwestern going to Minnesota, only laying 2.5. And we saw what Minnesota was able to do to Purdue next week, or last week, I should say. This looks like Minnesota plus 2.5, pretty good play.
No doubt about it. When you look for situations this time of year, you want to try and focus on motivation and what teams will have going into their game. You watch Northwestern celebrate on the field at Kinnick Stadium last weekend after securing the Big Ten West. In relatively improbable fashion, knowing all those results that had to unfold, forced them to clinch things with two conference games to go. They have a pseudo-rivalry with Illinois at home in Evanston the final week of the season. What do they care about going up to the Twin Cities and taking on a Minnesota team that's been feast or famine? But they may have figured things out a little bit against Purdue. Minnesota, of course, sitting at 5-5 on the season, needing win in one of their next two games to try and get to bowl eligibility. I love the Gophers quite a bit as a home underdog. Made him a short favorite myself on my numbers once you factor in the situational analysis.
We're at the epicenter of this one, Todd. Texas A&M is part of the mighty Southeastern Conference. They're at home this week to the team from our town here, UAB, who's having a historic season as Conference USA Western Division champions at 9-1 with an elite defense. UAB at Texas A&M, how do you see it?
UAB, what they've done this season, I really thought they would regress from their performance a year ago, and it's simply incredible, as you mentioned, what the Blazers have done since losing the game early in September to Coastal Carolina. But, gentlemen, this is a major step up in class. We go through the schedule for what the UAB has done this season. The best team they've beaten, we'll call it North Texas, I guess, in late October, but the amount of physicality they're going to see, the speed and the athletes in space from A&M, this almost reminds me of the game they played against Florida where everyone thought Florida was dead and buried. Florida came out, just ran the football right at him and was able to win comfortably. For me personally, I think if you're UAB, you'd love to win this game against an SEC opponent, but you have much bigger fish to fry. It's a lay it or don't play it type scenario. I think Kellen Mond and that A&M ground game can have some success against UAB in this spot.
Todd Furman is with us, former odds maker Caesars Palace. At Todd Furman on Twitter. See him on Lock It In every single day on FS1 at 3:30 and get his podcast, bettheboardpodcast.com. Furman is on the Bud Light Hotline. Washington State is that team that's hanging around hoping some things will fall right. They host Arizona this week, a forgotten team in the Pac-12. It is a 9.5-point line. What do you see in this one?
This, for me, a little bit of a big number here when you look at Arizona and how they perform with a healthier Khalil Tate. The offense started to get things going before their bye week on a Friday night against Colorado, and I think they can carry some of that momentum forward. But you look at Washington State, and this team has been lights out from an against-the-spread perspective when they play at Martin Stadium. 13-6 against the number of the last 19 in the Palouse, and they've been filling people's wallets all season long. Not only are they 9-1 straight up, but they're 9-1 against the spread. I think this game, though, can come down to the wire. Pressure ultimately bursts pipes. Washington State, a massive game the following week in the Apple Cup on Black Friday. I think Arizona can pose enough challenges offensively behind not only Khalil Tate, but J.J. Taylor and his 1,200-plus rushing yards. Look for this game to be as weird as they get for Pac-12 after dark. I'll take Arizona plus the point.
Todd, sometimes when you look ahead to matchups, you don't know what's going to happen, and then you see the Vegas number, and you know exactly what's going to happen. And I think you get that with Syracuse and Notre Dame this week. Notre Dame, 10.5, neutral site.
Yeah, for me, this almost feels like fool's gold if you want to try and back the underdog here. Notre Dame does so many things well this season that they don't get credit for, specifically their ability to play defense. They've allowed less than 216 yards rushing and passing in 6 out of their last 7 games. They're 21st in the country in yards per game allowed and 9th in yards per play allowed on defense. But what really jumped off the page, LT, for me, they're number 2 in the country in opponent passer rating behind only Michigan. This Syracuse offense needs to go fast, but they're not ultimately efficient. I think with Ian Book healthy, assuming he's going to be their starting quarterback, Notre Dame makes a statement in Yankee Stadium, and the Syracuse season, which has been improbable as any from a Power 5 conference opponent, hits the skids a little bit. Irish win this thing by 2 touchdowns plus.
I don't know how you are able to gauge Oklahoma State week in and week out because they're so dangerous, but then they're so far down. West Virginia is a sort of a playoff contender. What do you make of that trip to Stillwater for West Virginia?
I wonder where Oklahoma State is psychologically, knowing that they had an opportunity to win Bedlam last week. Things didn't quite unfold the way they would have liked in the waning second. And you look at what they're able to do offensively, though. I think they'll put some pressure on West Virginia. I mean, Oklahoma State, 320 passing yards per game against a Mountaineer secondary that I think can be exploited. I just don't feel comfortable going to the window backing the Cowboys here plus 4.5 against the Mountaineers. I really don't feel like West Virginia gets caught looking ahead towards, you know, the bigger games that they'll have on their schedule remaining, mainly Oklahoma and a potential conference championship. I'm going to be fascinated to see what we get from these two teams. This has potential implications more for a wrench in the college football playoff than anything else, but it's not going to get any share of my wagering dollars.
The NFL game of the week, Rams and Chiefs, gets moved from Mexico City to the L.A. Coliseum. If you purchased a ticket before the announcement yesterday, do you actually have to get a refund on that ticket? Is it no longer valid?
Yes, you do. With a change in venue here, side totals, any other props that you may have been able to take advantage of, those will be refunded, and you have to bet into the newly adjusted number. So we've seen the Rams go from a 2.5-point favorite on that neutral field number now out to 3.5. And people go, wait, home field advantage, it's got to be worth more than 1 point. First off, L.A., the Coliseum in general, really not worth much of anything for home field advantage. But you're talking about a massive move from that dead zone of pick 'em to 2.5, now through the key of 3 out to 3.5. What I was surprised is that books reopened the total at the exact same number, 63.5, 64. And when you're playing in Mexico City, you have a few elements that work towards overbetters. That thin air can tire out defenses much quicker, and the ability to kick 65 to 70-yard field goals, assuming pollution doesn't quite knock it down.
All right, Furman, before you go, in your opinion, the Iron Bowl number Sunday will open at what?
I'm looking at this game now, and I've tried to adjust my Auburn power number as best I can because I was extremely high on the Tigers coming into the campaign. Watched them last week against Georgia, was thoroughly disappointed. I think you're going to see books open this number in that, you know, 18.5 to 20.5 range. I would be stunned if this number opened over 3 touchdowns. But given some Auburn struggles, books may need to try and really create a premium if you want to lay the points with Alabama.
But it's going to be north of 17.5, you think?
I really believe it's going to be very similar to what we've seen from some of these games. Right now, for me, Mississippi State, Auburn, I make that game on a neutral. I just can't wrap my head around books using the same number for Alabama, Auburn. that they will for Alabama, Mississippi State. And keep in mind, guys, Georgia was about a 2-touchdown underdog, or is, on the neutral in the SEC championship. And you're talking about Georgia, who closed a 12-point favorite against Auburn. So there is a chance that you could see as much as 3 touchdowns here.
All right, Todd, thank you. Have a great week.
Always get Lance's Lock on Twitter, @TheLanceTaylor.